You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
I think the fascinating thing is that it also becomes intellectual. There's an intellectual element about thinking through this. It affirms about thinking through your faith, which is what I appreciate about Paul. Because I think there's a real danger if we just focus on the action. It really needs to be both and. And I also think that we unfairly put on Paul a lot more intellectualism than there is, in my view. So, and this is borrowing from other scholars, but I think Paul was simply sometimes just talking ethics. Sometimes he was just talking, this is practical, we have a political dynamic here, we have to address it, there are moments where Paul even says, this is not from the Lord, this is from me. So he's offering sage advice, and he's dealing with some of the political challenges of his day. And some of that's just great wisdom, and it's practical. He's not making so much of a theological point. I think when he's first talking about circumcision, I don't think for him it's theological. I think for him it's like, guys, what are we going to do here? We're going to get all these people to... I think for him it becomes, no, we've got to make sense of this. And then he develops a theology out of it. Other times, I think he has clear to me what seem like just these beautiful moments of revelation where you're like, did that just really happen? Did he say that? And I don't even know if Paul's always clear in terms of what he's just said, which is what I think makes it so powerful.
So we're at Think and Drink, July 10th, 2019, and we have just reviewed essentially the last couple of chapters of the book of Acts, and a look at basically the last few years of what's recorded there of Paul's ministry, his missionary journeys, his trial in Jerusalem and appeal to Caesar to head up to Rome, and all that ensues there. So, with that, we're at takeaway time.
So, my takeaway on it today was the whole thing about Acts and this journey that he's on. But really, what hit me the most is something that just kind of like right at towards the end, and when we were discussing, like, you know, what did Paul do? And it was kind of like, for me, after hearing the whole story, because it was kind of funny. A couple weeks ago, we did the Paul versus Jesus battle, right? The battle supreme. And I came into that with a completely different view. So now, on the other side of Acts, the view has become a little different. But I think that Paul helped to define what a Christian is and his ideal of what it was. And then I see Jesus as being defined as what a Christian is as the individual. So it was more personal for Jesus and more of a grouping of Paul, because Paul touched a lot of different groups. And there was even a part, like, we kept saying it, and we were, one of the things we came out of that discussion was that we're all kind of like Paul's trying to be Jesus. And then there's a part where we're like, Paul was trying to be like Jesus to the point of thinking he was getting ready to be killed and everything was matching up and he's on the same journey as Jesus, but yet he's Paul. And where that comes down to is the development of the gifts for the kingdom. See, Paul was trained as a speaker, as a person that knew the law, a person that was used to organizing, you know, and he was trained and raised in that. That was his skill. And then when he took that skill, and right at the end, when you said that the verse was, and then he used every opportunity to carry the message, he used every skill that he had. Those were his unique skills that he used to carry the message, just like, what was his name, Apollo or whatever. He had a certain skill. And I think that was really the thing that Paul, I get from Paul, that it was his skill, because he was a very good talker. He was very methodical. I mean, to go in front of like two factions that both want you dead and to come out, and they're fighting each other is awesome. To me, that says, you know, yeah, God's going to work with what he's got, but you've got certain skills that you're going to bring to this table that are going to be like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, you know, and that's what happens when, you know, God touches us and allows our skills, our true skills to come out. And whatever your skill is, that's what comes out. And I see that definitely in Paul. Like, he had the knowledge and the way to do it, even to the point where he's like sitting in Greek and he's getting ready to get killed by the Romans. He's getting ready to get killed by the Jews. And all of a sudden he's like, no, you know what? I want to talk to Caesar. Right. Awesome play. And just from that alone carries his ministry to places that it never would have gone before. Just that little move carries it to, like, that's really where another story starts, you know? And I just imagine, like, what would that have been like? Just to do that mission today would be awesome. But to do it at that point when it's like you're struggling just to eat and just, you know? And he's using every single opportunity to show that how God can touch anybody, anywhere, and didn't matter, you know, he's getting all kinds of things. Like, he's got guards around him. He's preaching to the guards, you know. He's going to court, and he's preaching to the court. It's just, like, awesome. So I have a lot of respect for Paul now. I see that some of the stuff that he did wrote, or maybe wrote, I see where it came from. You know, he was a sports guy. He was a guy's guy. So, you know, yeah, he probably had different ideals about how different people acted within that. But for him using his skills for the glory, he absolutely aced it.
What I got about it, I always get, and I wish we could convey in words the really amazing images that we get to see provided by the man who shall not be named. And
let's just call him Alan for now.
Okay.
Just make him up a random name.
We'll pick a name. So, the amazing thing I learned is that, you know, Paul, and I keep rereading Acts, which is a good thing because I'm rereading it in a way to have an understanding versus, oh my God, I got to read this and get through it and maybe find one key verse so if the pastor calls on me during Bible study, I'll have something to say. But I actually read it and understand it. And so when we come in and, you know, this guy we're calling Alan shows us these images, it brings the whole entire story to life. You're like, wow, well, that's what that island is? Because you think him walking and sailing to these islands, and you're thinking, oh, you know, it's probably just a little river or a lake. But you see these beautiful Grecian islands and these beautiful places in Italy, and I'm like, I want to travel now.
Mediterranean cruise.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
Yes.
And just how, no matter what, to me, what I got out of Acts in the study on Paul is that no matter what he was facing, he was so determined to spread the good news of God, that, you know, the good news of Jesus, like, get in relationship with this guy, do right, you know, do these things so you can have this relationship and understanding, and there is a better way, and they called it the way, and I think that's a cool way to describe it, because it's a journey. It's not an instant, okay, I came to church, I got baptized, somebody threw water on me, I sat through a Pentecost service, now I can go to heaven. It's not. It's a lifelong journey. And Paul's whole journey through the book of Acts just encourages me to keep on going, because I couldn't imagine if back in the day I'm sitting there and there's, you know, this mob that almost kills me, and I wake up the next day and I'm like, yeah, but I gotta tell them about Jesus, so I'm gonna go back. I'd be like, man, forget these people, I'm going home. But he kept going and he kept going and he kept going and he kept going, and he was smart in his ways, that he knew that when he got arrested by this person, that it was better to say, no, don't set me free to this mob who's trying to follow me and kill me. Turn me over to Caesar, because his goal was, I gotta get to Rome. Well, if I say turn me over to Caesar, Roman guards are gonna have to stay with me, to travel with me, to get me to where I need to be to continue to spread this gospel. And I'm like, what a smart man. And he knew how, like Damon just shared, he knew how to relate to everybody. He was trained to do this, maybe for a different job than spreading the, you know, gospel in the beginning, but how that skill, you know, God was able to use and just bless so many people. I mean, some people got it, some people didn't. And And it's funny that the majority of the people, as you read the book of Acts, that say they didn't get it or didn't believe, were the people who were trained in the Torah and in the law and in knowing that this Messiah was going to come, yet they were so like, oh no, that can't be it, that can't be it, that can't be it. They were so judgmental, yet the people who really didn't know much, the Gentiles, the Samaritans, all the other people, were just like, yeah, yeah, I believe, I believe, I believe, this is great. And just, it is just so fascinating to me, and the journey he took and his determination. You know, if Nike needs a spokesperson, they could really use Paul. This man, he just did it, no matter whether the mob... He was a sports fan. The mobs were trying to kill him, and he kept going and going and going and going. And he was chained at the end for 2 years when he... Or was it 2 years he was in... Or while he was waiting to be seen by Caesar and chained to a Roman guard. Every 4 hours, they would rotate. You know, all he would do was like, oh, I'm going to be chained to this guy for 4 hours. Let me preach to him. Let me preach to him. Let me preach to him. And just think of how many Roman guards that maybe got a message they would have never heard before. And I like, you know, in the book of Acts, it just abruptly ends. And someone had mentioned that, you know, going forward, it's like we're living in Acts 29, continuing Paul's journey, continuing to spread the message. And at the end of Acts 28, well, let's just start with verse 23. It said, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to his lodging in large numbers. So I'm guessing this is the time when he still changed the guard, and now they're going to come, and they're going to talk to him, figure out what he was being charged with. Why are we holding him? Why are we chaining him to guards every 4 hours and keeping him in this cottage? And then it goes on to say, and he carefully explained to them, from morning until evening, solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the writings of the prophets. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves, and they began to leave after Paul had made one last statement. He said, the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah, the prophet, to your father, saying, go to the people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart, the understanding of the soul, of this people has become dull, calloused. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return to me, and I would heal them. And I'm like, what a great way. I mean, there's a couple little verses after it, but what a great way, if you're going to end Acts, to end it that way. It's kind of summarizing Paul's journey. I came, I taught, I moved on. You either get it or you don't, but I've got more people to get to, and the mobs are chasing me, but I'm going to keep going and going and going. And, you know, it just really gave me a whole new view of Paul, other than some guy that got blinded while he was driving in a sandy road. So,
true.
Come
indeed.
To think and drink. Awesome.
Awesome.
So I'll just say that one of the things that jumped out at me was, again, the confrontation, the points where people were ready to have Paul arrested and go after him. A lot of it centered around financial interests. Those who were selling their idols, and here's this guy saying that goddess, you know, isn't all of that. So, you know, they saw a possible dent in their income, and that's why they went after him. And when you look at so many people in the New Testament who make a local mob angry, a lot of it does center around that. You're threatening our livelihood, or you're threatening the status quo of our understanding of how things are. So, yeah, you can't have a radical message without stepping on some toes.
It'd be interesting to see Paul as see him through the lens of a rabbi, and him trying to hold the tradition and pass it down, as he has received it before and also at the time of Jesus. But him also wrestling with this new role, right? Because there isn't something similar. So rabbis or like rabbis in a Pharisaic tradition would have gone rogue to the temple tradition, but he's especially going rogue. He's no man's land. And
rogue agent.
I just think that's it would just be really interesting to see him as trying to care for this community, but in this sort of new role that he doesn't even really know. And yet you see glimpses of the rabbi, you know, of his teaching, of his making a practical point. You know, do we do this or do we do that? You know, I think we should do this. You know, and there's not necessarily a deep intellectual, you know, profound thing. I also do believe that there is God at work in his life, and there's revelation. There are things that he's saying that are astounding. I mean, people who aren't even Christians still say his essay on love in Corinthians is still one of the most beautifully penned in Greek. So, it's interesting though to see him through that lens of just him trying to care for his community. The other takeaway I have is the food is really good here at Bull Bay, and so you should come and try it out. 900 North Orange Street at Bull Bay. I'm having some spicy jerk chicken. Join us next time.
So, next week, we're looking at Paul's letters during the second missionary journey to the Thessalonians and the Galatians, and the question, why are we legalistic sometimes?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.